ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Interesting topic we have today. It's called Instructions to Civilized Human Beings. This is Canto 7, Chapter 15, Text 28. Sadvarga samyam e kanta sarvaniyama chodana tadantayadi no yoga avaheyu sramavaha satvarga. The six elements, namely the five working senses and the mind. Samyam ekanta, the ultimate aim of subjugating. Sarvaha, all such activities. Niyamachodana, the regulative principles further meant for controlling the senses and mind. Tadanta, the ultimate goal of such activities. Yadi, if, no, not. Yogan, the positive link with the Supreme. Avaheyu, did lead to. Srama avaha, a waste of time and labor. Translation and powered by His Divine Guest S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ritualistic ceremonies, regulatory principles, austerities, and the practice of yoga are all meant to control the senses and mind. But even after one is able to control the senses and mind, if he does not come to the point of meditation upon the Supreme Lord, all such activities are simply labor in frustration. Prabhupada, one may argue that one may achieve the ultimate goal of life, realization of the Supreme, of the Super Soul, by practicing the yoga system and ritualistic performances according to the Vedic principles, even without staunch devotion to the Supreme Master. The actual fact, however, is that by practicing yoga, one must come to the platform of meditation, or meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in the scriptures, Dhyana vasthita tad gatena manasa pasyanti yam yoginaha. A person in meditation achieves the perfection of yoga practice when he can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By various practices, one may come to the point of controlling the senses, but simply controlling the senses does not bring one to a substantial conclusion. However, by staunch faith in the spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one not only controls senses but also realizes the Supreme Lord. Yasya deve para bhakti yatha deve tatha garo tasyait kathita hi artha prakasante mahatmanah. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of the Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. It is further stated, tusyayam sarva bhutatma guru susru sasya and taranti anjo bhavaranam bhavaranam Simply by rendering service to the spiritual master, one crosses the ocean of nescience and returns home back to Godhead. Thus he gradually sees the Supreme Lord face to face, enjoys life in association with the Lord. The ultimate goal of yoga is to come in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless this point is achieved, one's so-called yoga practice is simply labor without any benefit. Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Prasthade Satarine. Everyone, Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everyone can repeat. Ritualistic ceremonies, regulatory principles, austerities, and the practice of yoga are all meant to control the senses and mind. But even after one is able to control the senses and mind, if he does not come to the point of meditation upon the Supreme Lord, all such activities are simply labor in frustration. Faith, meditation, devotion, these are the topics here. They say this, Sramma Avaha means, does anyone know what Sramma Avaha means? Waste of time. We can endeavor so hard to follow all the regulative principles. But if we are missing out on the vital element, it's like you can make rabdi, okay? So you can churn the milk, boil the milk, and boil the milk, but you forget to put the sugar. What happens? Out? So much hard work. How many of you are going to really relish that rabdi? Anyone? Nobody? It's the same point here is being made by the acharyas, by Narad Muni, to Yudhishthira Maharaj, that don't waste time. You have to have Krishna at the center of your life. Without that big K, it's like having rabdi without sugar. So we have to take this very seriously, and it is very important to develop. Prabhupada emphasizes here that if you want to see Krishna face to face, then the whole process starts with faith. Like a little baby, it's a common example. A little child has absolute faith in the mother. When the mother's hears the baby crying, the mother can immediately tell what is the condition. Sleep time, change time, feed time, right? And the baby is being taken care of and nurtured, so as the baby grows older, the baby has absolute faith in the mother. Even if the child starts speaking and as the child grows, if somebody says something against the mother, the baby will be the first warrior to stand up for the mother. How dare you? So such implicit faith needs to be developed. Without faith, it will not work, the process will not work. We must have absolute faith. How many of you want to see Krishna face to face? Wow, some hands came up like this, some came slowly, and others are thinking. See? So those ones who have faith, they go like that. Those who are thinking there is faith, right, this second class, and those who are still thinking, you know, that that's the difference. This is how you can test yourself. Where does my faith lie? Where is my faith? Where does the faith develop? Am I like Gopal Bhatt Goswami when I was only 12 years old and I am hearing Lord Chaitanya, that I am actually listening attentively and I am meditating upon everything that Lord Chaitanya is telling to Venkat Bhatt, and that, you know, I am meditating and listening, and then I develop a desire, not just faith, but I develop a desire, you know, to see the Supreme Lord in His former pastimes and activities. Or am I like Prahlad Maharaj, that I have heard the Bhagavat, you know, Bhagavatam, while I was in the womb of my mother, and I listened to it so attentively that I naturally developed faith before even I came into the material world? See, the faith factor is very vital. And Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna, and this is a topic on faith and faithless. Very interesting subject matter here that is included in the Most Confidential Knowledge in chapter 9, text 3. Krishna is telling Arjuna that asraddhana purusa dharma yasya parantapam aprapya mam nivartante mrityu samsara vartamani. Those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain me. No? If you don't have faith in Krishna, you don't have faith in the process, there is no question of getting Krishna. No? Therefore, they return to the path of birth, death and death in this material world. In other words, you may endeavor so many other things, but if the faith is lacking or the sugar is missing, then it is simply a matter of sramma avaha. Then I am wasting my time. I am working so hard. All the different processes. I can try like Hiranyakasipu or Ravana, perform all the austerities. Or even, it doesn't have to be a demoniac mentality, you can be like Vishwamitra or Sabari Rishi, that you may have certain contemplation that by doing so and so tapasya, I will become a great devotee and I will, you know, come to a position whereby I can travel like Narad Muni and do whatever I like. But we can see from these examples, it's a waste of time. Sabari Rishi failed disastrously after 60,000 years of hard labor underwater, right? So many years of tapasya, and then one flickering mind and it's gone. Everything's gone down the drain pipe. Vishwamitra, same thing. So many years of tapasya, one beautiful woman comes in front of him, he's gone kes. So, don't endeavor faithlessly. Determination within itself, but no Krishna, is also faithlessness. You may be so determined, but if there is no Krishna, there is no Guru and Gauranga, then it's simply a waste of time. No? Prabhupada says, the faithless cannot accomplish this process of devotional service. That is the purport of this verse. Faith is created by association with devotees. How is faith created? Association of devotees, right? Very important. This is why I have to read this book again and again. This song that Krishna sung to Arjuna, we have to sing it again and again. Unfortunate people, after hearing all the evidence of Vedic literature from great personalities, still have no faith in God. They are hesitant and cannot stay fixed in devotional service of the Lord. Thus, faith is the most important factor for progress in Krishna consciousness. So important. You want to start a car, if you don't have the key, you can sit in the limousine, but it will not start, it will not move. So faith is like the key that starts the car, no? Or your bike. You like the bike, right? In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that the faith is the complete conviction that simply by serving the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, one can achieve all perfection. That is called real fact. By giving water to the root of trees, one satisfies its branches, twigs and leaves, and by supplying food to the stomach, one satisfies all the senses of the body. Similarly, by engaging in the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord, one automatically satisfies all the demigods and all the living entities. Therefore, after reading Bhagavad Gita, one should promptly come to the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. One should give up all other engagements and adopt the service of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. If one is convicted of this philosophy of life, that is faith. So it's different ways Prabhupada is explaining the association of devotees, understanding that everything that you do, by giving example, that to nurture the whole body, simply utilize the stomach. Okay? I can put some rasgullas here, some here, some here, but it's not going to satisfy my needs. Right? But simply by taking care of it myself through the stomach, same thing, this Prabhupada is emphasizing. Understand, you don't need to do all these different ritualistic ceremonies, this demigod, that process, this yagya, that yagya. Simply keep center, Krishna at the center of life, and then with that faith you move forward, then you'll get Krishna. No? So this is a very nice verse. I'll continue, but it's a very nice verse whereby the faith is described in so many different ways. You know, those who automatically have firm faith that Krishna bhakti or service to Krishna is the best course, and so in good faith have taken it up. One is the first class. In the first class will surely make progress and achieve the result at the end. Thus, faith is very important in the discharge of devotional service. So faith, if we can understand faith, then we can go on to meditation. Unless there is faith, all our meditation is going to be null and void at the end of the day. And if there is no proper meditation, then that also means that we will not be able to follow our regulative principles, we will not be able to concentrate, and at the end of the day, what will happen is that all our efforts will go in vain. So there are many examples in the past of great devotees, just like there was a princess, her name was also Sachi Devi. How many of you heard the name Sachi Devi, not Sachi Mata, but Sachi Devi, who was a princess from East Bengal? Anyone? At least one hand, yeah? So she was 5 years old, and just like Mirabai, and she was so absorbed in Krishna's service from childhood. So when she got to 16, she told her father, who was the king, that she picked up a deity and she said, I'm going to Vrindavan. From East Bengal, she said, I'm going to Vrindavan, just like that. Because she was so absorbed simply in glorification of Krishna and hearing pastimes of Krishna that she was absolutely convinced, there was no doubt. She had faith that Krishna is there, and she knows that the most exciting, most rejoiceable pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. So she decided to walk to Vrindavan. No, there was no Indian Airlines or no metros or trains. No. You can imagine how many thousands of miles she must have walked, but her father being a king had arranged so that she would get protection, and she got to Vrindavan. She came to Vrindavan and she was going to finding out all the places where Krishna's pastimes had taken place, and she was meditating simply. She was doing madhukari, she was not doing interested in worldly activities in any way, and she was just trying to find out the pastimes of Krishna. Just like Sanatana and Rupa Goswami, they came and they re-established, they found all the places. And they used to call upon Radharani and they used to call upon Krishna, you know. Where are you?
He Radhe Vrija Devi Ke Chalalite He Nanda Suna Kuto.
Hey Radharani, where are you? Hey Krishna, where are you? If we are in Vrindavan and we are not thinking like that, we are not going to all the places of pastimes, we are not coming in front of Krishna and Radha Shyamsundar and actually taking darshan from the core of our heart, if we are simply engaging our eyes and our mind with false ego that, yeah, I made it to Mangalarti, hey, I made it to Guru Puja, I, you know, that consciousness does not help. Should come with divine consciousness emerging from the heart. It's my opportunity to see Radha Shyamsundar today. How nicely they'll be dressed. You know, when I come in front of Krishna Balaram, wow, look at that flute. Look at the dhoti is wearing. Wow, what are the kangans? Are we observing how Krishna's looking? No? Are we in the mood of the Goswamis in Vrindavan? Is there a tinge of that mood? Or are we failing drastically? Where is our bhava? So Sachi Devi, she was coming and going place to place, and then there was a disciple in the parampara, his name was also Haridas, and he used to give some very nice lectures and mostly pastimes of Krishna. So she used to come and listen. And then one day she came to him and said, paid obeisance, he said, please give me initiation. And just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, who had absolute faith in his father's instructions, third time around he was told, go get the initiation. If you go don't get the initiation, Ganga is there. Jump in it, I don't want to see your face. So to father. Father wanted the son to take his spiritual life seriously. And third time round, the son really understood. This initiation is a must. You know, develop that faith. So same thing, Sachi Mata, Sachi Devi said to Haridas, if you don't give me initiation, then I will commit suicide. Without initiation, I cannot get anywhere. So she was given initiation. When she was 25, until 25, she was doing Madhukari, living in a run-down temple on the bank of Yamuna. And then, at the age of 25, her guru told her, now you should go to Radhakund. Go to Radhakund and meditate like the Goswamis. Now you are ready to go to Radhakund. Just see, he didn't say go to Radhakund straight after initiation. Now he said, okay, purify yourself. Going to Radhakund again is such a primary place on the universe. We cannot commit offenses in the dham. Just as much as every activity we do, we get 1,000 times benefit. You know, your 16 rounds are like 16,000 rounds. So any sinful activities or an offense even to a Vaishnava, it multiplies by 1,000 times. So generally a spiritual master will not tell you, go to Radhakund straight away. No? So she went to Radhakund and there she did the same thing. She did Madhukari. She became well known that she is very, very advanced devotee, but she would not interact. Her all the time was bhajan and listening to katha and doing Madhukari. She wasn't bothered when she was sleeping under a tree on the bank of Radhakund, Shyamkund. Such was her faith in Krishna and determination. Her meditation was absolute, that there is nothing else in the world except for Krishna. No? See, at the age of 50, the Guru was really getting warm. Guru called, said, Sachi Devi, come here. Now I want you to go to Neelachal. Right? Go to Jagannath. And there, I want you to do two things. Stay at the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath, and at the same time, this Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya's place has been run down. I want you to renovate it. It's like asking him to build a temple for Sarvabhuma. So she went. You see, age of 50 again, you know, there was no auto rickshaws also, right? And she went, she managed to get there. And she was doing the same thing, torn clothes, meditation. Everyone initially thought some mad woman, but then as she was going around and practicing and listening to kathas and occasionally preaching, it became known that she is a great devotee. She started giving lectures under the order of our spiritual master. So when she would give lectures in the open places, she became so famous that the king would disguise himself. The king of Jagannath Puri would disguise himself so he could come and hear. Sramanam, so important, see? Even the king, as soon as he heard, said, let me go and hear. Who is this person? The king actually then offered her, I'll build you a palace, I'll build you a temple, whatever you want. And she said, no, I will not take anything from you. I don't need anything. I have Krishna. You see? She could have anything she wanted from the king. She said, no, I want Krishna. Then came Makar Sankranti, and then we know that Makar Sankranti, there's always a great gathering, you know, on the bank of Ganges in different places. So she heard about this and she thought, I must go and do Ganga Snan. But she was not young. So she was still preparing that tomorrow I will go to this pilgrimage. So in the middle of the night there was storm and there was so much water, and she saw Ganga actually coming to her. The temple room where Lord Jagannath was locked. Somehow or another, Mother Ganga picked her up and put her at the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath, where the pandas didn't allow her to go previously. Now comes in the morning, and in the morning, when the priest opened the doors, and as we know, Jagannath Puri is a very popular place. There's always thousands of people. So many people flooded in, and they saw this lady, you know, just sitting there. She was still in deep meditation. How, you know, Mother Ganges is so merciful to me, and now I'm right at the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath. This is mercy of my spiritual master. While she was meditating, these pandas are shouting at her, and they take her away and they get her, put her in the prison. And the night time, Lord Jagannath comes to the king and says, go right now, take a golden chariot, take the Kirtanyas, bring her back gracefully. If you don't do this, I will destroy your dynasty. This is what the Lord tells the king. And the same thing, same dream the head priest is receiving simultaneously. If you don't do this like this with the king, all your priestlyhood will be gone. And not only that, you, the king, tomorrow you shall ask for initiation from her. And from tomorrow she will be known as Ganga Mata Thakurani. So the king immediately went, the priest immediately came, and then they begged forgiveness. Ganga Mata Thakurani then became very well known after that. You know. She refused to give initiation. She said, my guru did not order me to give initiation. I'm sorry, you may be the king, I cannot give you initiation. You may be the head priest, I cannot give you initiation. See? An advanced devotee is not interested in making disciples. Very serious subject matter. Then Lord Jagannath appeared to her and said, you must give initiation. These are all fallen conditioned souls, right from the king downwards, that they could not recognize my pure devotee. So you give them mercy now. So Ganga Mata Thakurani actually gives initiation, you know, to the king and all the priest family, the entire families who are performing this. So if you take it from there, then all those priests are there today also. They are in the same parampara. You know, Ganga Mata Thakurani is their great grand spiritual master. You know? So from this we can understand a child from the age of 5 can become so absorbed and connected to Krishna, and as time goes, that child can become a great acharya. And no worldly desires at all. The king even said that all our mothers should be like Ganga Mata Thakurani. They should follow in her footsteps. and all the fathers should follow in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami like that. So when this order comes from the king, you can understand how, you know, the masses of population will take it very serious, you know, time, place and circumstances. Gopal Bhatt Goswami was only 5 years old. He was only 12 years old. Yeah. And he heard his father, Venkat Bhatt, having conversation with Lord Chaitanya. Now, the beginning of in Ranganath temple, you know, Venkat Bhatt saw Lord Chaitanya dance nicely during kirtans. So he was very mesmerized to see, wow, this sannyasi, look at him, so effulgent, well built, and is doing such nice kirtans. So he invited Lord Chaitanya to his house. And because it was beginning of Chaturmasya, at that time normally the sannyasis don't travel. See, if you have faith, Lord will come to your house also. We must have faith. Faith is an implicit factor of our life. You know, just like humility. Without humility, there is no progress in devotional life. Faith is implicit, is essential element, just like sugar is for rabdi. So, for 4 months, Lord Chaitanya and Venkat Bhatt were having dialogues every day. And Venkat Bhatt was already at Ishwarya Bhav level. He was like Pishima Mataji could speak to Gaunitai. Today I don't have any salt, you just eat sabji without salt. Don't ask for chapatis, you know. I'm an old woman, I can't give this to you. Like that. So Venkat Bhatt was in a different situation because he's well established. So he would ask the deities, what do you want to eat today? What do you want to wear today? He had that kind of rasa with the deities, you know. Can you imagine being able to go to Gaunita and say, yes, Lord Chaitanya, what dress, what color do you want to wear today? How nice this must have been. What level of devotion that must be. Gopal Bhatt was listening for 4 months. Imagine a kid, 12-year-old kid, just listening for 4 months, day in and out, and meditating everything these two grown-up people appear to be saying. No? At the end, when Lord Chaitanya is ready to leave, Gopal Bhatt is saying, starts crying. No? Just like Ganga Mata Thakurani, she used to cry for Krishna. No? He starts crying. So Lord Chaitanya holds his hand and says, my dear son, what's your problem now? He says, I've heard all the pastimes and activities and qualities and everything that you discussed with my father. And I'm so attached to you, I don't want you to go. You know, I don't want you to go. Then Lord Chaitanya says, okay, just for you, my dear child, I'll stay a few days longer. And now I will have some dialogues with you. And in the next few days, he gets the opportunity to see the Lord, just like Arjuna on the battlefield is seeing the Virat troop and all the living entities disappearing. He is able to see, this boy is so fortunate, he is able to see all the pastimes of the Lord. So nice. And then he tells him, you are still very young, but when you are 16, you go to Vrindavan and take shelter of Rupa and Sanatana. Child in the womb can develop faith. A 5-year-old girl who is a princess can develop faith. A 12-year-old boy who is a son of a brahmana can develop faith. You know, and that faith brings the Lord to us. You don't have to go chasing for the Lord. He's already seated here. Suridham Sarva Bhutanam. Seated in your heart. He is just waiting for that clarion call. Do you want to see him face to face? How many want to see him face to face now? Wow, look at the sense shooting up now. That should be the desire. Daily desire should be, I want to see him face to face. And you come to him in front. Whichever is your most favorite deities, everyone has some favorite deities, you know, go. You must develop a favorite hero in your life. Is it Sanatana Goswami? Is it Rupa Goswami? You know, is it Pisima Mataji? Is it Janavi Mataji? You know, did you know that Janava Mataji, she could, several times she manifested four hands just to give mercy to many devotees. Yeah. Have one hero. It can be Prahlad Maharaj, it can be Dhruva Maharaj. Meditate upon their pastimes and activities, the one that is most appealing to you. Any one of these processes of bhakti, take it very sincerely and seriously. No. Lord Chaitanya has come for us. He has opened up this whole series of services for us, so that everyone can benefit. He engaged Srila Prabhupada so nicely, and wherever Srila Prabhupada went throughout the world, he taught everyone one very nice thing, you know, that meditate upon Krishna. And what is Krishna saying in the final chapter? Man mana bhav mad bhakto, you know, meditate upon me. If you develop that attachment to some personality and you pray to Lord Chaitanya, you know, he's saying, what is Narottam Das Thakur saying? Patita pavana heto tava avatara. Patita pavana heto. And then he's saying, who can be more fallen than me? Just see, Narottam Das Thakur is saying that I am the most fallen. Such a great advanced devotee is saying, I am the most fallen. Please give me some mercy. Again, that bhav is important. That faith, that by calling upon Lord Chaitanya. So with faith comes proper meditation. With proper meditation comes that you will be able to follow your regulative principles so much more nicely. You will be able to control your senses so much more nicely. You don't have to do extra tapasya unnecessarily. Just like the cowherd boys and the gopis and the cows and the peacocks, they all had a great time with Krishna. And if you follow this process of bhakti, this is buddhi yoga, keep your buddhi connected to Krishna, then ultimately we'll see him face to face. What does face to face seeing Krishna means? We go back home, back to Godhead, Golok Dham. There is eternal happiness. Even if there is no sugar in the rabri, it will taste sweet. That is Golok Dham. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Guruji, for a very nice lecture. Just studying that topic on faith, can you also share what the common mistakes as practicing devotees we do which will hamper our development of faith?
Does that mean your question is asking what are the impediments in developing faith?
Yes, impediments, yeah. Also mistakes, yeah. That we may do in devotion.
Yeah. Mistakes basically means impediments, that means a barrier. We make a mistake sometimes knowingly and sometimes unknowingly. The knowingly mistakes, you know, they normally come through false ego. Because I think I am so and so person, I have a degree, I am a CEO of a company, or maybe even I'm a rickshawala, but I'm making 60,000 a month, so I come from a village, that's a lot of money for me. So my ego is there, you know. So in spiritual life also, we have to be very careful and sensitive that we do not keep up a false ego at the front, and thinking that now I've become a great devotee, I'm the head pujari, I'm the head kitchen master, or I'm the head this, that. Those are the things that can hurt your faith, because then you fail to remember Krishna. Unknowingly, sometimes if you do, Krishna will forgive you. Unknowingly, when you make a mistake, then what will happen is you yourself will realize. Just like the pujaris on the altar, if they make a mistake, for, you know, they're putting a pin in the thing and accidentally they touch the head of the deities, that is an offense. Or they try to put some bracelets or something and their mind is somewhere else, and instead of putting the bracelet, it falls on the floor. Happens. Mind is not there. You know, so that there is lack of that faith that I am personally dressing Krishna in whichever form. So when that kind of mistakes is made, then there is atonement required. So every time you fail to maintain your faith, immediately atone for it. Correct yourself. Don't think it's okay, nobody's watching me. Remember, Guru and Gauranga, they are always watching you. There is no time, place or circumstances. You may be asleep and you may not watch yourself, but Krishna is watching you. Right? He doesn't ever sleep. He doesn't need to sleep. Guru doesn't ever sleep. He doesn't need to sleep. It's our conception, but the real perception is they are always alert, always awake. Krishna is always our dearmost friend. And as soon as we take the step to become His dearmost friend or His dearmost servant, there are different bhavas or different rasas, then, you know, you will make the progress. Okay? Yes, sir.
Thanks. Thanks.
Time, place and circumstances. If you look, take Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then you take Kishoradas Babaji, then you take Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, then you take Prabhupada. Each one of the spiritual masters, they came at different time and places, you know. It's so like Kishoradas Babaji, he was just in the forest, he was not out at all, you know. But Prabhupada was personally instructed, in other words, he was actually ordered, you, young man, you should go out, preach worldwide. Translate all these books into foreign languages, you know, and preach. So that's what he was doing. He didn't come and say, I have come to make disciples, you know. But he knew that by following the order of his spiritual master and making disciples, so many more books will be distributed. And when he initiated somebody, literally in the early days, okay, he said, now, okay, this is your name is Shyam Sundar, this is now Mukunda, next day you come to the office, now you please go to England, you go to China, you go to, you know, this place. Immediately he was sending out them to preach the mission that his spiritual master gave him. You know, Ganga Mata Thakurini's situation, time, place and era was different. And she was also not giving. But then, Jagannath personally tells them, now you give initiation, you know. So when the Lord orders, then there is no question of not following orders of spiritual master. You know, he's the supreme spiritual master. You know? Make some sense? Yeah.
Also, in this one, some of the sannyasis of Guru, they don't like to make more disciples. So, what do you say?
Again, we have to understand that every Jivatma is an individual living entity. Every Jivatma does not come with his own plan. We are here under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only because he has brought us here, and only because he has appointed certain people to become sannyasis, gurus, whether they are grihastha gurus or sannyas gurus or even brahmachari gurus, it's only by the will of the Lord. It's not that they make these plans. That is the illusion we are in it. As soon as we start thinking that I am sannyasi, I am guru, I am this, I am that, that means I have lost faith in Krishna. I should have faith that I am sannyasi because Krishna wants me to be sannyasi. I am guru because Krishna wants me to serve. I am XYZ because Krishna. Now, what is the role? Then I go to the ideal varnashram system, dharma system. See what Narad Muni is telling Yudhishthira Maharaj. And from there I can understand what is my role. If I am fortunate enough, you know, many devotees were fortunate, they got direct instructions from Srila Prabhupada. But as generations go on, Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada will speak through these books. And those intelligent individuals who take to his, you know, teaching seriously, they will develop faith and they'll become great personalities. But even if you become great, be very careful. It's like walking on a razor's edge. That's bhakti. Lord Chaitanya himself says, Amar Agya Hai Guru Upadesh. Anyone who is preaching this chanting of Mahamantra, you are naturally Guru by nature. But then if you become an initiating Guru, that's a different thing. So everyone, as soon as you are telling somebody, Prabhu, please chant, that's Guruship. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.